Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What up, Fightful friends and family, and welcome to the spooky Halloween edition of Fightful Roundtable, where nobody but Alex put an even an ounce of effort into their clothing.
Wait, hold on. I got this. Wait.
I got some tattoo sleeves here.
I got my Uncle Howdy, man. Hey, man, what are you doing, man? I'm Uncle Howdy. Welcome to Fightful Roundtable, man.
I did mine.
There we go. Wait. I got tattoos now.
Larson's got tattoos for his costume.
Whose tattoos are they?
I don't know.
He was telling who you were today for the show.
I was new TNA superstar CM Punk. So I had a TNA shirt, which is actually right over there, plus these. And that's the extent of the effort I put into it.
Yeah, well, you know, you're looking just as old and leathery as CM Punk is for a young 25-year-old man, I learned today. Stay away
from
the sun.
Thank you so much.
You're
going
to end up like Larson. Hey, welcome, everyone. Thank you for doing this. Sorry to get sidetracked, but that's what happens when you round up the hooligans on Halloween. We have so much to get to. Of course, we got the most convenient co-host in the game, Alex Lajas, haunting me every single month. If only she could see the state of my office off top of the camera, she'd be giving me a earful. But
I mean, I can imagine. I hung out with you
for like 2 days. Steve Larson, the best duo in the game. Is there another one? I don't even know. So congratulations, guys. You've cornered
the market. Maybe there's probably other duos out there. Kayla, you look a lot like Shaq. It's weird. This is a Church of Friendos thing, isn't it? This is a Church of Friendos thing? Where's Kayla? I thought she was going to be here.
That's his costume. That's
Kayla's costume is Shaq.
Exactly. There we go. Next year we'll have Shaq as Kayla. Not sure I'll pull off quite as eloquently, though. Okay, guys, we have so much to get to. I want to talk a little Halloween. I want to talk a little Crown Jewel, AEW. But this wasn't really on the roundup, but I do want to bring it up since we just saw the news. Much like the boy who cried wolf, Tony Khan has another special announcement for AEW on Wednesday. Just very quickly, I want to get everyone's thoughts. What do you think the special announcement is going to be? I'll just open the floor to whoever's got one.
He is discontinuing his Twitter because of his funky Twitter fingers.
I'm gonna say his big announcement is AEW wins again. You know, it's like it's always winning, and it's always the best show that they've ever put together. And he's gonna be announcing that AEW wins. That's what he's gonna announce.
Just wins. He's gonna highlight the ratings for Kenny and MJF, ignoring what the ratings for the rest of the show were.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
it's against stiff competition of the World Series and college football.
Yeah, never has the World Series done under, I don't know, whatever, million viewers. But now, thanks to AEW's collision, it's happened.
He's just like Charlie Sheen. He's always winning.
Dude, always winning. Yeah, absolutely. Shoot, if I came from a billion-dollar family, I'd always be winning, too.
I'm going to go with the revival of Wrestle Society X because
we
don't get it. Great idea.
That's a cool idea. They can have the CG like explosions and stuff again. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'd be down for that.
Whoa! Hey,
whoa, look at that.
Media, baby.
Bring back Jack Evans, put like 14 more titles on TV. It'll do wonders. It makes me sad that we're even going here, guys. And AEW really captured my heart for a couple of years there, but here we are.
Yeah, same with everybody in the
broke
our hearts.
We don't need to be so sour and down on Halloween. So let's get to what I think is probably a lot of fans' highlight coming this weekend. LA Knight getting his big standout moment against Roman Reigns. Crown Jewel. Guys, is this something new, or are we just living in the Sami Zayn at Elimination Chamber, Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania, Jey Uso in SummerSlam, Twilight Zone? Like, is there any reason to be more hopeful or more excited of what this opportunity means for LA Knight than the big matches that Roman Reigns has had in the last, let's say, 9 to 12 months?
For LA Knight, probably nah. In terms of chances of winning, at least, you know, it seems like the arc is going to be his ascent to the main event. He's going to lose due to interference from the bloodline at Crown Jewel. He's going to settle back down to the upper mid card, probably, maybe, win the United States Championship at WrestleMania, maybe against Logan Paul. And then they'll go back around seeing, hey, is this guy really a main eventer, or is this a situation where he's captured the imagination for the time being? But we'll see if this rocket has enough fuel to take him back up to world championship level, or if it's just going to kind of settle in the upper mid card. That would be my guess.
Yeah, I kind of feel like, going back to like Drew McIntyre, Clash of the Castle, I know I thought, and a lot of our audience felt at that time, it was like the perfect scenario for maybe Drew McIntyre to actually win. And then he didn't. I know there are a lot of people who were thinking that maybe Sammy would win. I don't think we were ever close to thinking that because WrestleMania was right around the corner. But along the way, there's been, the stories have always been really good. Mm-hmm. And it's always been sort of on the precipice of thinking, well, maybe they'll do it, but probably not. Cody, obviously, a lot of people thought Cody was going to win at WrestleMania. This one right here with LA Knight is sort of the most obvious one that there is zero chance that LA Knight is going to win. But like Larson said, I kind of feel like this is the WWE's way of capitalizing on somebody that is hot right now and might wear out his welcome within 6 months because they're trying to strike while the iron's hot. But understanding that if he somehow is sustainable, then you can revisit him in the main event scene at some point down the line, but you might as well strike now while the iron's hot. And it's at a Saudi Arabia show, which, you know, it's sort of outside the norm of their pay-per-view, so, or premium live events, whatever. So, yeah, I kind of feel like he's got no chance of winning. I don't think anybody is giving him any chance of winning, but everybody loves LA Knight, so why not do it now?
Yeah.
Alex?
I agree. There's nothing at stake for LA Knight compared to Cody Rhodes and Sami Zayn. And I think this is more like what Steven Larson said. This is the moment of WWE, like, capitalizing on how hot he is, how hot LA Knight is. But hopefully this is more so, like, leverage for him continuing forward on the roster since he's going against Roman. I've always said I hope that LA Knight wins the Royal Rumble next year. So maybe, you know, it's, what is it? What do you call it in basketball? A layup? Is that what it is? I don't know.
What are you trying to describe as?
I don't know. What's a layup? Like,
a layup,
you know,
is something in basketball, yes.
It's like, you know, when you're near the net, you run up, you take two steps without the ball, you jump, you toss it in.
An alley-oop?
Alley-oop is when you pass it to someone.
That's when you jump.
There we go.
Sports.
Everybody.
Sports. And you entertained me. Thank you.
Okay. So here's my follow-up question to that. I put this out after last week's episode of WWE SmackDown. In my opinion, LA, I mean, I feel like the star is growing every week, but I feel like the contract signing with Roman Reigns was as much of a main event player as LA Knight has ever looked. Just everything, the confidence is there, but the execution and the mind games, from cutting off Roman's entrance to walking right by him to sitting at the head of the table, whoever's idea it was to organize that segment deserves a raise, and LA Knight executed perfectly. I know in the aftermath of McIntyre losing and Sami Zayn losing and especially Cody Rhodes losing, and then the way the Jey Uso match played out, particularly where they just kind of like tossed out the entire rule book for how the match was supposed to function.
Yeah.
I know it sort of created a lot of disappointment, but seeing where each of those guys are at right now, Drew McIntyre, slow burn heel turn, Jey Uso being a solo player on Raw, do you feel like, despite losing, WWE has done a good job of actually building a number of main event players underneath Roman Reigns across the board? And if so, is this an opportunity for LA Knight to kind of join? I feel like the WWE roster hasn't been this healthy in a long time.
The only difference that I can really see is that everybody that you mentioned sort of has a really, really, really good story leading up to the Roman Reigns stuff. And like Sammy's story was so, Jay's story was so, those were so, so good stories. They were so well done that the fact that they were able to springboard into really good stuff afterwards, I think it was helped along by the fact that they had something before that to work with. And so they had a place to go. I still think it remains to be seen with LA Knight because he hasn't really had a story. His story has been like popping the crowd. They love him, and that's great. And I think he's got a lot to work with there. And they've tried to give him a little bit more personality, talking about his grind on the way to, you know, to the top, and, you know, how it's only been 1 year, but there was 19 years before that that, you know, really laid the groundwork. And so I don't know. I think he's going to be kind of in the same position he's in now. I don't really feel like it's going to do much for him except for show people that he can be on Roman Reigns' level, because we all know this is probably going to be a bloodline interference match because that's kind of all of Roman's matches these days. So, like, I, you know, it's all going to depend on it's going to be kind of a clean-ish slate after this because he doesn't really have much coming into it. That being said, Triple H has been doing a really good job across the board with a lot of people. So I feel like he'll be in a much better position now or after Crown Jewel than he would have been after Crown Jewel if Vince was still booking things. So I feel like he'll have a good shot. But the other situations, they all had a lot of really, really good stuff preceding that Roman match.
On the other half of the world title scene, on the men's side, Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre. We're 6 months into the reign of Seth Rollins as the inaugural world heavyweight champion. I don't know why we didn't just... There's so many now. There's like alternate universes, like multiple world heavyweight championship listings in Wiki, but neither here nor there. Alex, grade for me overall the Seth Rollins reign, and now that you've got a challenger in Drew McIntyre that actually has a bit of story and a deeper level of character development than some of the other guys we've seen vie for the title, is it time to make the switch at Crown Jewel?
I don't know. I was hoping we had to switch when Seth was going against Shinsuke. Yeah, I want more for Shinsuke Nakamura.
Well, also, where's Shinsuke been? Like that I feel like that feud really elevated him from where he was, which was nowhere to be seen, and mm-hmm. now we're just like back to vignettes.
Yeah, he's like back in the shadows like he was before. If I were to grade Seth Rollins' run with this, I don't know. For me, honestly, it's a C+, because the stuff that he was doing with Shinsuke was really great, but it was more so like it was great for Shinsuke, but then there was nothing for Shin. And then with Seth, it's like Seth is just always going to be like an elite player. Like, he's always going to be a team player. He's always going to be great. Any character that they throw on him is just always going to be fantastic. But there's just something about his reign, and I'll honestly put that under the same umbrella as like Rhea Ripley's reign, where like they introduce these titles and it just doesn't feel like there's anything there. Seth at least has done something with it, but I think it's more so in terms of booking, and then with Rhea, they have her going against the men and it's great, but it's like, it doesn't feel like there's really much of a division. It just feels like this is like a waiting room until we decide what to do with Roman sometimes. But in terms of Crown Jewel, I love Drew, but I don't see him winning. It's just like a little bump on the road.
Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s. Still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day. And Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step by step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
But I guess for Seth, I don't know.
Steve Larson, give me a grade, and if the title should change.
Grade, I'd say I vacillate between a B and B+. We did a video on grading the current WWE championship reigns. The moment then it was B+. Like, I feel like a lot of Seth's reign has been good. Some of it's been pretty good, but I don't know if a lot of it's been great. It's like really solid work. There's been like the Nakamura feud was good. And it did a lot to kind of flesh out both characters. I still feel like the World Heavyweight Championship is the consolation title in comparison to the Undisputed title, because it hasn't made an event a pay-per-view that Roman's been on yet. And Seth kind of runs into a pattern, seemingly, of when he is a babyface. At a certain point, I don't know what it is, it just feels like his run kind of runs out of steam. Things kind of get a little stale. I mean, this he's gotten a lot more legs out of this current run as babyface Seth than he did a few years back when he beat Brock for the title, and seemingly like the night after, people were kind of bored of him as babyface. As far as Drew's chances of winning, minimal, I would think, at this point. Him taking the L at Crown Jewel is going to potentially advance his story more than a win could. So, I mean, Steve and I talked about that at length today on our show about that scenario. And so I'm kind of leaning towards Drew losing, but you never know. I mean, it would be great. Drew's awesome. But who knows?
Yeah, I'm sort of in the same sphere in terms of grading Seth's title reign as sort of like probably closer to a B+. But the thing that I like about it, the thing that I appreciate about it, is that they've actually kind of told a story. And that really came to a head with the Shinsuke stuff where he talked about the broken back. Seth is obsessed with being the non-Roman, with being there every week, with defending this thing all the time. I know he just defended the first time on Raw in however long, but he always wants to have a match. He always wants to fight. He doesn't want to be Roman where he's part-time, where he's gone all the time. And that's wearing him down. And I appreciate that as a story. They might not have like executed it perfectly, but I think Seth will be better off once he loses that title. And I'm like 70% sure that he's going to win at Crown Jewel. I'm 30%. Like, that still leaves like 30% though in my mind that Drew McIntyre, he is sort of the most accomplished guy out of Seth's World Heavyweight Championship run that he's faced so far. He's a former WWE champion and he has a big chip on his shoulder, and Seth's sort of digs at him about like the pandemic era stuff on Raw this week. I thought were pretty good. Like the Crimea River stuff, I thought that was pretty good. So like, I like that it hasn't just been, you know, Seth is like undefeatable. Like he kind of is, but he's also breaking down, and eventually that's gonna come to a head, whether it's a Crown Jewel, whether it's a cash in, whatever, eventually that's going to catch up to Seth Rollins. And it's just a matter of like, when is it all going to break down for him? You see in the feud with Shinsuke, he would sort of step outside of that facade that he's got, the, you know, the sunglasses and the sing my song crap, because that's getting old. But whenever he sort of takes the sunglasses off and has to keep it real, that's when things get kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. And so I do feel like if we get more of that Seth, more of the Seth that has to come to the realization that I can't keep this pace up, he's not going to stop the pace. He's going to break himself before he stops the pace. I think that's been mildly interesting. I think they could probably hit on that a little bit more. But yeah, I mean, it's fine. I think in retrospect, it might end up looking better once he's lost the title and once that breaking point comes, and you can go back and look at all the beats that they've had. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like Seth chasing the title is always, always way more interesting than Seth having the title. And so if he loses the title, even at Crown Jewel, if it's a cash-in, Bloodline, Drew turns heel, goes crazy on him, whatever, it'll be much more interesting at that point. The crowd will be a lot more behind him. Like, people don't, they're not really, it's hard for crowds to get behind baby faces that have like really long title reigns, because eventually they just end up being boring. So mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like it'll be a lot better once he actually loses the title. But we'll mm-hmm. see.
I think two things sort of stand out to me. One is, I think the faces on Raw could really benefit from a heel champion right now. I feel like with Jey Uso, I know Cody Rhodes kind of has the Roman Reigns story that still needs to play out, but for guys like Jey Uso, Sami Zayn, it almost feels like they're in this holding pattern at times where the only people to feud with are the Bloodline the Judgment Day. And now that you've sort of set the foundation for what Drew could do with some tension with these guys, I feel like he could, you know, put the title on Drew, have a rematch at Survivor Series, program with Sami Zayn, and we could see maybe Jey Uso get a singles world title run in the new year. I'm really into that possibility. The other thing that really stands out, you know, a lot of these feuds with Seth have had sort of plot holes in the motivation behind the storylines, but at least they're trying, and I'll give them that. I mean, you're bound to have plot holes when you're telling stories that span decades at times. For me, I think what sort of undercut Seth's run as world champion is exactly that workman-like mentality, because you have someone on the same program arguably doing it better, an intercontinental champion, Gunther. who's essentially playing the same role. I feel like WWE has sort of gotten the formula reversed, where you have an inactive world champion on SmackDown in Roman Reigns, and yet you're not seeing the U.S. title defended very often. I actually thought by now LA Knight would have been the U.S. champion, and it would have led to him actually being, in many ways, the primary title holder on SmackDown, because there is no one else actively performing and defending a title. So I do think, yes, Seth Rollins is sort of experiencing a bit of an undercutting at Gunther's hands here. He was on a remarkable reign. And I do think a change is in order sooner than later. But, you know, Seth is doing work. He's doing good work. Guys, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, criticisms, listen, as long as you give me some money, I'll take it all. I'll take it all up front. I ain't picky. Drop a little treat in that basket for us. We'll get to it by the end of the show. Okay, guys, I want to do a little pivot. Talk about some, you know, you take from that what you will, friends. Let's talk a little Halloween real quick. In your opinion, which pro wrestler in history has scared you the most or made you the most uncomfortable? But it can't be an obvious answer. So no Canes here, no Undertakers, no Fiends. Who's someone, no Boogeyman, who's someone when you think of, you just instantly have the creepy crawlies all over you? And if you would want, I can start. Because the things that John Heidenreich did to Michael Cole will forever.
Let's not revisit that. Now, I got my answer. It's pretty easy. It's Vince Russo in WCW. Like, he, I don't know how many people he scared away, but he certainly scared away a lot of people. Booking him, number one, when he showed up on TV, I was like, this guy doesn't belong on TV. I don't want to see him on my television. And then he made himself champion. I don't want to see this. And a lot of people, I think, joined me in that. And then, my answer is Vince Russo. I just had no desire. I was like, this guy is scaring me away from my television. I'm running to the Federation. I'm going to be an e-drone for the rest of my life.
Here we are today.
And here we are today. Exactly. 20 years
later. Yeah. Nothing has changed.
All thanks to Vince Russo.
Thanks to Vince Russo. I just thought of this name, because he's always come off as exceptionally unhinged. He'd always fly off the handle, and he would get promo time to talk about the stories he was involved in, but instead shoot on somebody else. I'm talking about Scott Steiner.
Oh, great.
Big Papa Pump, massive, largest arms in the world. I think he said at one point his peaks had peaks. And the way he was so dang unpredictable, it came off as intimidating. And apparently, he might have been a bit intimidating backstage, too. Mm-hmm. So that adds to the whole thing. Yeah, he's kind of, I'd be a little scared of Scott Steiner.
You know, I failed senior year math, and if anyone gave me the confidence that I could still make something of myself, it was Scott Steiner.
It was Scott Steiner. Inspiration in that instance, yes.
Absolutely. Alex, anyone come to mind?
Well, anyone that creeps me out, they're all canceled. I'm kidding.
You know, depending on your preferences, Gene Snitsky might be a hero or a villain.
Oh, man. I do have to say, Gene Snitsky, when he, like, kicked the baby, when I saw that when I was a kid, like, this guy's terrifying. He's going to kick me.
Did you guys ever notice how long his nipples were?
Yes, I think that also played a factor to it.
No, but I'm willing to Google it right now.
Oh, they're very long.
Yeah, I only know that because of Quizzlemania.
Did they do a nipple thing on Quizzlemania?
Utters. Jump scare. Happy Halloween.
Sorry, not to yuck his yum. Anyone's yum for that matter.
My buddy, I remember my buddy Evald laughed as hard as I've ever seen somebody laugh when we were watching a pay-per-view back in whenever he was around, 2005 or whatever. And I remember watching a pay-per-view and Snitsky was on it, and like the camera went a close-up. And my friend was laughing so hard because his nipples are so incredibly long.
I might,
talk about scary.
I'm just updating my to-do list.
Maybe that should be your Halloween costume. You, Steven Larson, do that. Gene Snitsky's nipples.
We could be Gene Snitsky's nipples. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
Alex, you could be the baby.
Yeah, I'll be the baby. Yeah.
I think that's just a one giant terms of service violation for all three of us. There's no way you two would let that fly. Yeah. What are you? I'm a nipple. I'm a very long nipple. No. Canceled.
I think Fightful hit 100,000 subs recently. Shout out to the team. So it's time for everything, I think. Too. They've had enough success for the time.
They've had enough success. They could start over.
All right, guys. Speaking of a lifetime of success, Sting recently announced that it's coming to an end, man. I don't think many pro wrestling retirements stick, but I have some vested interest in this one, and I think many people do based on the consummate professional that Sting has been throughout his career. If you had it your way, we'll start with Alex on this one. Who is your number one choice for Sting's retirement match?
If this guy wasn't retired himself, I would have loved to see him versus Great Muta. Sting versus Great Muta. I know they had that moment. I was there at Grand Slam for that Rampage when he came out, and like, I didn't know I needed that moment until I actually experienced it. That's who I would pick if I was living, you know, if it was my world. But yeah, I thought about this the other day too. I was like, who would his last opponent be? Like, there's so many people to choose, but then like, if you want to bring in like a classic name for Sting, like past feuds, there's nobody. But it also shows how like
Ric Flair. What are you talking about? Nobody. Ric Flair is right there, Alex. Come on.
I mean, no. Tales of the Crypt. No thanks, dude.
By the way, shout out to Christian Cage, who's just. I mean, we've dubbed the wrong man the rated R superstar. I cannot believe, and I am so eternally appreciative for the things they let that man get away with a hot mic.
He is terrific. He is absolutely terrific.
Absolutely terrific.
God, he's so good, especially in the media scrums. Like, he's so good. God.
I'm honestly afraid. We've had such positive interactions in interviews that I'm kind of afraid to ask to talk to him again because I don't know what this version of Christian Cage is going to have in store for me.
Might be dangerous. That might be dangerous.
I want to interview him, and I want to wear a shirt that says "I heart my dad," and see what he says.
Is your dad still alive, Alex?
Yeah, he is. Maybe I should bring him in into the interview.
Steve, do you have a retirement match for?
I mean, the obvious answer is Darby. I think that makes the most sense in the world. So, yeah, I don't know him. You know, Alex, earlier you said my world. That brings up Jeff Jarrett. Maybe Jeff Jarrett. Maybe they can put the Texas Chainsaw Deathmatch championship on the line. Of course, Jeff Jarrett, young, hungry superstar, goes over. Sting does the job for him. And then Jeff Jarrett can maybe ascend to that next level. So maybe him. But I don't know. It's got to be Darby. Like, it has to be Darby. Sting eats that coffin drop. And Darby wins, and he gets the Sting rub. That's what I think.
Larson, are you on the same boat?
Yeah, Darby seems likely. I know as much as Steve would like to see Flair get in the ring one more time.
Oh, man.
Take a nap mid-match, maybe.
I want to see him take two naps mid-match this time.
But, yeah, Darby makes a lot of sense. I was kind of wondering if rather than doing a singles match for Sting, they might do a tag match. They might do Sting and Darby versus, like, Christian and Nick Wayne, something like that. But you know, it seems like if Sting's going to go out, you know, and well, here's the thing: if they want Sting to go out a winner, probably a tag match.
Tag team, yeah.
If Sting's going to do the honor for somebody, it's going to be a singles match with Darby.
Yeah, well, I know Darby, and I think he's mentioned in a few, but he did tell me that he doesn't want to wrestle Sting one on one. He wants to be in a tag team match with them. Now, who knows whether or not he's being honest or whether he'd really have any say in the matter, but that was interesting. I'm going to pull up a name that I'm offended wasn't mentioned sooner. Let me see if I can get this photo going. Why are we not?
Oh, my jeez. Jeez.
Look how creepy he looks. My goodness. Now, so listen, toe-y. Imagine those nipples staring at you from the other side of your bed, just hanging over your bed like you're
You look so much... more terrifying.
No, not hanging. Yeah, don't say hanging. That's disgusting.
Hanging? What do you mean?
Like, they're not even where they're supposed to be.
Baby.
Like, they're supposed to be a good 3 inches up.
Yeah, they're very low.
Why are they so low? Like, they're and they're lopsided? That's weird.
Well, because
I don't mean
like trying to reach eye level to you.
Listen
to
us body shaming. That's terrible. What a beautiful body.
Is it body shaming or is it appreciating at a different angle?
What a beautiful, doughy, slick man.
Are we going to be thrilled or disappointed if Tony's announcement on Wednesday is that Goldberg will be wrestling Sting in his
retirement? Thrilled. That'd be amazing.
Man, Bret Hart's going to love it.
Yeah.
Oof. You know what, dude? Bret Hart running, double sharpshooter, scorpion deathlock, I think.
Oh, that's something.
That'd be great.
It's exactly up TK's alley. Okay, guys, before we begin hitting this back half of this, very quickly, if I can find it, should I have had this prepped in advance? Yes. Did I? No. Do I even know where it is? Maybe. I think Sean Rossap has a little ad read that he will do, because apparently he doesn't trust me to do it for him.
Fitbod.me/PPV. You want to check this out. This is going to take your workouts to a new level. Daily workouts, goal and experience settings, muscle recovery, the ability to connect to all your devices. They have timed intervals, circuits and supersets, equipment selection. This stuff has helped me out a lot as I'm trying to get in the best shape of my life. And the thing I like about it, when I travel, it is so useful. So maybe you have weights one day, you have bands the next, and maybe the next day you don't have any equipment. You can only do body weight exercises. Fitbod is going to cater your workout to that. And it's going to cater your workouts based on how fresh your muscles are. You can ask a trainer. You can use video demonstrations and exercise instructions. If you don't know what you're doing, you need to stop guessing and start working. And at fitbod.me/PPV, you can redeem your 25% off code. And you can download to try it now for free. Fitbod, that's FITBOD.me/PPV, over 150,000 five-star reviews and over 5 million downloads. Fitbod.me/PPV.
Guys, you too can have a body that looks like
this. Oh, look at that. Look at that. Yeah, damn it.
That's the stuff.
Yeah,
that's
look at that.
Stuff. It'll look make you kick.
Got a couple clothing pins on those bad boys. Add some weights on the other end.
Oh my goodness.
Guys, it is the Halloween season, and I feel like Steve might be doubling up on his answers here, but in honor of the spookiest of all the times, what I would like from each of you is, what is one booking decision that still haunts you as a professional wrestling fan?
Oh, boy. Katie Vick.
Alex, break it down for the youngins.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't think we're monetized, right? I don't think I can.
Can you very, very carefully elude those YouTube
very scientifically tell us what happened with Katie Vick there, Alex.
So when I really don't know how to describe it outside of monetization. I mean, you know, the guy in charge, Hunter, Triple H, you know, he went to a funeral. And he had a great time.
Gave the deceased a proper send-off.
Yep. He did.
Yeah. 6 feet.
I don't know how to describe it outside of that, man. Oh, every time. Well, I remember I went to StarCast the first year, and they had the casket. And
what?
Yeah. You guys were there, right?
Yeah. I'm trying to remember the booth that had it. I don't know.
It was to our left.
Yeah, it was to our left. I remember that. They had like
Stone Cold ET went over there for a bit.
Was it like
on the last day?
But it wasn't like the TV news version. It was just like a gag they had set up, right? Like,
yeah, I think it was the gag. Yeah. I think the TV news version is probably still in the warehouse.
Probably, or the funeral.
I saw people climb into that casket to take their photo op.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah,
I remember that? We should, Larson, we should have done that.
Yeah, missed opportunity, I suppose. Maybe another opportunity.
We should have done that. We're too busy like hawking merchandise at our booth
and laughing at Stone Cold ET on that last day.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
Plus like, hilarious.
Eiffel Tower on the upside down, you know. Steve, okay, we got to move on. Steve, don't look at me like that.
Did you say what I think you said? All right, we're monetized. Got it. Can't believe you just said that. All right, anyway.
All right, I'll go ahead and pick up from here. I can't follow this, though. What the hell? That's messed up. You can't put me in that position.
Let's go. I need a minute.
You got to come up with something, Steve.
I can't. Well, now I was going to say, like, Hogan at WrestleMania 9, but now this is, I can't follow up that. What the hell?
Okay, sure. Okay, you know what? I can.
I got one.
Here,
okay. I can follow the Katie Vick thing. It's when they book CM Punk to poop his pants during a match with Dean Ambrose, and then they had to pick up the poop. There you go. Yeah. There it is. That's even grosser than the Katie Vick. Well, it's actually not even close to being as gross as the Katie Vick.
But it's gross as well.
It's actually, like, practically speaking, it is more gross because it was real poop.
It was real poop.
As opposed to the Katie Vick, which is the.
And the ref didn't have it when he picked it up.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, I'll say whoever books CM Punk to crap his pants.
Do you think the ref got, like, a backstage bonus for that?
God, you would love to think so. Or at least a pat on the back from Vince.
God damn it. Cut in front of the line at catering, at least. After he washes his hands, of course.
Oh, no. Not the front of the line. He needs to go to the back of the line. You get to pick your food last. Get your poopy hands on it.
This is so much better than I had.
The best poop in the world.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe his catering is boogeyman's worms.
Yeah.
This is what you get.
Larson, you got something for us?
I don't got anything with poop in it that comes off hand. unless it's been confirmed booked Sid to poop his pants to WrestleMania 13. The one thing that pops in my head when I hear bad booking decisions is heel Michael Cole. That always pops in my head first because I remember I didn't watch wrestling for a while. I went to Steve's house one day. He's like, hey, come over and watch WrestleMania. It was WrestleMania 27.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, the Michael Cole, Jerry Lawler match took up like a half hour. Even the match was only 8 minutes long, a half hour of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And after watching that pay-per-view, this one where Miz made it in it against John Cena, I'm shocked that I continued watching wrestling.
Yeah.
Because it was not a good WrestleMania. And heel Michael Cole was one of the most awful things creatively WWE ever put on TV because it was garbage. And then John Cena humiliated him on Raw and poured barbecue sauce all over him. It just wasn't entertaining. It was terrible.
It's like the dark times of wrestling at that point.
It was. It was like the celebrity guest host era, heel Michael Cole.
The anonymous Raw GM era and all that. Yeah,
there was a lot of just really bad going on there.
Yeah, but now Michael Cole is the super baby face thanks to the push of Pat McAfee.
Yeah. I mean, Michael Cole now.
Listen, I'd be a horrible heel too if I had those frosted tips.
Oof.
Now, I do actually have one that came to mind. And Alex, is there anything worse than screwing one person? Yes, screwing six of them. I am so grateful for everything that John Cena is doing in this recent run, but I will never forgive him for derailing the entire Nexus single-handedly in one fell swoop. I mean, Team WWE versus Team Nexus, this breakout faction that had sort of taken WWE television by storm, you know, invading the ring, Bryan Danielson choking out Justin Roberts. And then you have Cena 1v6, the whole squad. Did he not like take like a headshot to the concrete or something or steel steps? That group never recovered. So
no, this is one of my unpopular opinions. I think Cena.
You like that?
Cena was in the right on that one. What? I feel like, you know, he was well within his rights to go to Vince and say, listen, besides maybe Wade Barrett, and I know, like, I forget if Brian, if Danielson was, like, part of that.
He was on
crew.
Team WWE, actually.
Oh, yeah, he was on Team WWE, so he's like, look, Vince.
And then he got beat.
Like, Vince, we got the one guy that we really need here. We got Daniel Bryan. Let's be completely honest. Nobody else on this team means a damn. And I kind of feel like history has proven John Cena correct. I mean, look at who else was in that group. You had Ryback.
Tolerate this this Wade Barrett slander.
Like Justin Gabriel's, all right. Wade Barrett had like a million. He's great at commentary. I like Wade Barrett, but as a wrestler, you know.
Oh, you really like Bad News Barrett, Steve?
I mean, it's funny, but how far was that really going?
What was this finish? How did this ever get like cleared as a finishing move? By the way, whatever this thing was that Wade Barrett did.
Oh, that Wade Barrett just, like, rolled wasteland, is what they called it. Yeah, he just dumped people on their back. Yeah,
the worst finisher I've ever seen.
Yeah, it wasn't like that.
No, I kind of feel like the Nexus. It was a great idea, but they're all lousy. So, you know, good riddance to the Nexus.
Oh, we also forgot about the dog kennel match with the. What was it, Al Snow and Big Boss Man?
And Boss Man, that was pretty terrible. Yeah. There was a lot of bad stuff back then, too.
Yeah.
That one, actually, I feel bad for those dogs. No, as an owner who now knows to like prioritize positive reinforcement, you feel bad for all the pooping and peeing going on around the cage.
I'd have to go back and revisit it, but I kind of feel like David Flair was probably a pretty scary booking decision in general.
Bro, I saw a clip the other day on Twitter, and I just didn't want to, you know... I don't want to bury the man.
Yeah, yeah. It maybe is one of those things where, like, if I go back and revisit it, I could see something ironically funny in it, but maybe not.
Not intentional, Alex. Not intentional. Yeah, that was, you know, I wasn't really very, was I alive? I was alive, but, like, you know, I was a baby for the David Flair experience, and, I didn't miss much. Actually, I missed a whole lot, but it was, dude, how did that guy get in a ring at that stage? I don't want to sit here. Actually, it just really caught me by surprise. Okay, guys, this might be my last Fightful Roundtable, but we have about 15 minutes. So
hey, I'm taking it.
Let's make it count. Guys, make sure to throw those super chats in. We'll get to those. We blasted. You know, usually I gotta like reel these in, guys. But you guys have been.
We've been efficient. We've been efficient. I think it's the Snitsky nipples, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the one. More needs to be said.
Yeah.
I didn't. I'm mostly just regretting all of my career choices right now. So. That's
who hasn't done that before?
Do that. Okay, let's do this. Because I'm clearly at a rare and complete loss for words. What? Oh, you know what? Actually, I saw this in the comments section. And I'm very curious to think. Let's fast forward the Seth Rollins conversation a bit. By WrestleMania, by the end of WrestleMania 40 this year, who do you want to see as the World Heavyweight Champion on Raw?
Sammy. Snitsky? Snitsky's nipples. Sammy, oh, there we are. Yeah. God damn it.
That's my guy.
Yeah. Sami Zayn. That's what I would like to see by the end of WrestleMania 4. I don't think it's going to happen, but I think it'd be pretty awesome.
Who do you think will be the champion, then?
I don't know. Maybe they'll...
I say give Jey Uso the world title on the same night Roman Reigns loses his.
Oh, that's kind of a cool neat idea. I like pretty that. Neat. That's a neat idea. I like that.
That'd be pretty neat.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. I think I would like to see Gunther.
Yes.
I think as like the overall general love of that kind of booking, I guess. Man, I want to see something happening with Kevin Owens, really. I would love to see KO. Take that title by WrestleMania 40. I don't know, but Gunther just seems like the obvious choice right now. If he wasn't on such a like hot run with the Intercontinental Championship, like he makes me care about the championship again. And I don't think I've cared about it since it was a different design. Mm-hmm. So I really love what he's doing right now. I can't wait for him to lose that title so that he enters that next scene. And he could be another good contender to win the Royal Rumble too. So if that were to work out, then I could definitely see him become champion by WrestleMania 40.
Yeah. How about have Gunther as Intercontinental Champion win World Heavyweight Champion? Got all the belts.
That's good. I like it.
Got both of them. I like it. And night one,
too long.
Holding all the belts. Here's another name for you. I know there's a lot of reports saying, no, this guy's not coming to WWE.
Oh, wow.
Imagine this. Seth Rollins, open challenge, WrestleMania 40.
Oh, please.
It's clobbered time. See, I'm not advocating for this by a stretch of imagination, but man, people will talk about it.
There'll be a lot of conversation.
Do you, like,
it's Seth Rollins has to do the job again.
That's the day Twitter is really going to burn down.
It's just going to completely break.
Yeah.
It really is.
Do you guys think it was wise to move Kevin Owens to SmackDown? I didn't really see the need for it, and it looks like
it was worth it to see him punch both Theory and Waller with one shot. It was worth it.
That was pretty awesome, yeah.
It was pretty great.
Go ahead, Lars.
Go ahead, Steve. No, go ahead.
Okay. I think lean into the story of, like, Cody being a politician and sending Kevin Owens to SmackDown, if they somehow, but they haven't really even addressed it. Like, Sammy's just sad that he's gone, and Kevin Owens is like, yeah, I'm kind of hurt that I'm not with Sam anymore, but now I just want to punch people in the face. Like, if they somehow come around to the idea that, you know, Cody kind of orchestrated all that and he broke up two best friends, like, shouldn't he have to sort of, like, atone for that? I feel like if they address that story, I think there could be something good there. And I kind of feel like it's also a long game. If Roman, in fact, loses at 40, which he really should, like, I don't know. I feel like that'll give Kevin Owens a lot more opportunities, because I don't think they're going to revisit him and Roman. They did, like, I mean, I know it was a while ago, but yeah, I don't know. I feel like maybe if you wait for some things to sort of come into place, like that United States Championship, like you mentioned, they don't do anything with it. Mm-hmm. And Kevin Owens has a long history with that title, or he's got a history with that title anyways. And I feel like there can be some good feuds around that, but I feel like maybe they're just sort of waiting for some things to resolve to give Kevin Owens something really good to do.
And it's going to be interesting too. Now, I'm wondering if Sammy and Jay are going to start tagging on Raw, and now that Owens is feuding seemingly with Theory and Waller, is he going to have to find a new tag partner? So the best friends split between different brands are to find new best friends to tag with, and is that going to create tension between Kevin and Sammy? So, I mean, there's some interesting things that could come from it, but, you know, who knows what they're going to do.
Yeah, I like the separation of Sammy and Kevin Owens. I love them together. They're a great duo. But I like them separated for now, just because I really want them both to get their footing on the ground, just individually having something just for themselves. Again, I love them together, but I'd rather just see them apart for now until they come together again. And when they come together again, I hope it's with a match against each other, because I like them. They work great as a team together, but I like them better when they're across the ring from each other.
You like them when they come together.
You know, you're the one that's off the rails today.
it's a Dong Lord production. I think I assume if I don't get enough sexual humor that I'm also not gonna. It's a very fine line to tread between, you know, too many dick jokes and not enough dick jokes.
How,
I feel like I might be swinging a bit wide.
How
today.
Is this episode not sponsored by Blue Chew?
I just don't know anything about that. Are we even supposed to bring up Blue Chew? I don't know, but, you know,
do they not have a sponsor?
I don't know. Maybe they do. I don't know. Look, I'm here once a month. I'm the.
So I'm like that. No,
I'm here once a month. I'm here once a month. How often are you here, Alex? Once a month.
When you show up.
Which is how often?
Once a month.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Now, that is all the time we have today, but don't worry. You don't have to wait a whole month. You can wait 2 months, because I'll be away on my honeymoon next month. So we will see. Going to go backpacking in Vietnam. Hopefully my ankle is no longer sprained by the time we get there. That'd be nice.
Oh my gosh.
But we'll make do. So yeah, no roundtable November. I don't know if I want to do one for Christmas, but I'll try and make something happen. It depends. It depends if Alex has anyone to spend Christmas with. If not, her and I can hang out.
You're cutting way too deep.
You're going to do it on Christmas. On Christmas Day.
On Christmas. I'm going to come in like Oliver Twist.
And then, hey, why not December 31st, like around, I don't know, 11:15 p.m.
Like 11:50, 11:59 maybe?
I'll be in bed.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I'm in bed.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, there is so much good stuff to check out on Fightful Pro Wrestling. So please subscribe, thumbs up, tap the notification bell, support all the great work they do that allows me to ruin it all in one fell swoop. You can check out my work at Shaq Wrestling on YouTube, recent interview with LA Knight, Seth Rollins, lots of stuff at Shaq MMA. That's like, that's the main thing if you're into combat sports. I would plug CBS Sports, but it might be in my best interest not to today, so we'll leave that there. Alex, if there's anything you all let the people know, I'll throw the floor to you.
Hi, hello. My Twitter's there, Queen of the Ring. You can follow me there if you're watching this. Also, twitch.tv/Queen of the Ring. I will be live. If you're watching this live, I'll be live for Halloween Havoc. But if not, Mondays and Thursdays, 8 p.m. Eastern time, especially on Thursdays, we watch Total Bellas, and it's a hoot. If you love trash reality TV, that's the place for you. That's all.
Steve Larson.
I think we're like on Google. You can Google the Steven Larson, yeah, and then like Googles. We'll be there somewhere.
There'll probably be at least one listing, maybe several things we do.
Yeah, there's like videos that we do, I think, out there. So like, yeah, just Google it.
Are Steven Larson the Bella Twins of wrestling podcasts?
Yeah, they're the Gene Snitsky Bella Twins.
That sounds
we're,
right.
We're the two Snitsky nipples of wrestling YouTube.
Yeah, damn it. Yeah. Look at those nipples. Yeah, make a move. Yeah.
Oh, all right, man. I know what I'm doing in Photoshop as soon as this episode ends. Is that your plug, guys? Are you satisfied with that?
Yeah, we're good with that.
Yeah, bro. Google.
Yeah. Look, man, we've been around long enough. Y'all know who we are. Just Google us.
Okay, guys, thank you so much for checking out the show. Hope you have a wonderful time. Enjoy WWE Crown Jewel. Enjoy Tony Khan's major blockbuster landscape shifting.
AW wins again.
Announcement of the week. Maybe we'll only get one this week if we're lucky. Take care.
Signing Katie Vick to AEW. That's what's happening.
All right. We're out of here, Snitsky. Folks.
Snitsky. Sign Snitsky's nipples. God damn it.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.